Okay, tonight is an important night. We're going to start talking about the covenants. Now, I want to welcome all those that are watching by live stream. Can someone give me a path? How far can I go over before I'm out of the shoot? Oh, you can see it. Okay. This is called, I got it. We're good. Hold on. Okay. Speaker. All right. Yeah, it's called a preacher's path for television. Okay, so tonight we want to start talking about covenants. Sadly enough, I was never taught about covenants until, actually, after I graduated Bible school. That is horrible. Why? Well, because we all know the verse. It simply says this: seek ye first the... I can't hear you. Seek ye first the... kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How can you seek the kingdom if you don't know what the kingdom is? How can you seek the kingdom if you don't know how the kingdom works? Every government's different. Now, if you live here in America, I can stand up here and preach on, I'll just talk a specific topic. I could stand up here on the pulpit and I could preach against homosexuality, and I might make people mad as I preach the Bible, but I'm okay. I'm not in trouble. Where, watch now, the government in Canada, if I do that, the very first time that I preach that and I get caught, it's a $5,000 fine. The second time I get caught in Canada preaching against homosexuality from the pulpit, it's a $50,000 fine. And the third time you get caught preaching against homosexuality from the pulpit, you are put in prison. Now watch. We're joining countries, but completely different government, different laws. And this is where, as believers, we've been taught more how to be Christianized than kingdomized. And the problem is, God never said, seek ye first the church, and all these things should be added unto you. No, he said, seek ye first the kingdom. So if you don't understand the kingdom, you're really in a bad spot. Because if you don't understand the kingdom, then you don't know the laws in which we're governed with. I want to remind you that you are a dual citizen. You're a citizen on earth, and you're a citizen when you get saved in heaven. The Bible says that you're a citizen of the kingdom of God, that you're part of the household of faith. So what happens is, when we become born again, everything changes in us, and we're not governed just by the laws of the land that we live in, but we're governed by the spiritual principles that literally move heaven and earth. So when we don't grasp how heaven works, called covenants, then literally you're flying by the seat of your britches and you're hoping you just don't get caught. You're not sure why your prayers aren't being answered. You ever met somebody who said, I don't understand why my prayers aren't being answered? I'll tell you why. Most people's prayers are not answered. Simply because they don't know how to move within the kingdom. You cannot expose or do something against the law and expect that you're going to get rewarded. Amen? You can't expect that you can do whatever you want within a country and think that everything's okay. Listen, if I want something, there's specific ways to get it. Let me explain that. How many of you like food? Great. So I just want you to know, this is what I want you to do tonight. After you rock solid faith, I want you to go to the supermarket, and I want you to fill a grocery cart with a bunch of food, and just leave. Just go. Just go right out the front door. What do you mean you're going to get arrested? What's wrong with... everyone's got to eat. What's wrong with just taking the food? That's not how this government works. So you can think that you can live in God's kingdom and live it any way you want, but the fact is that if you don't understand how God's kingdom is governed, then how in the world are you going to ascertain what the promises are? But beyond that, how are you not going to break the covenant? You got to know covenants. That's how God thinks. God does not think in time. He thinks in covenants. So what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement between two people. Now, we live in a different world today where covenants don't mean much. George Barna, the church statistician, actually sat down and did some studies, and this is what he found. He found in the latest study that born-again Christians who are not evangelical are indistinguishable from the national average of the matter of divorce, at 33% having been married and divorced at least once. Among all born-again Christians, which includes evangelicals, the divorce figure is 32%, which is statistically identical to the 33% figure among non-born-again adults, the research noted. So here we have this. What I'm trying to show you is this. I'm not talking against divorce. I'm trying to tell you about we don't look at covenants and agreements the same way anymore. My dad taught me this. Your word is your bond. I was talking to my dad the other day. We're in the process of buying something. And I started telling him about all the legalities I got to do and all of the bank stuff that I'm working in. And he's saying, for goodness sakes, he said, I remember when I borrowed my first $30,000 from my house, I walked up to, and he told me the guy's name, the banker, and he says, I need to borrow $30,000. He goes, no problem, just come see me tomorrow. They shook hands. My dad came the next day and got 30 grand. That's not the way it works anymore. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I mean, we live in a world today where when you even sign a contract with somebody, you're not even sure if you're actually going to get through the contract. It's a different world, but I want to be very clear. It's a different world here, but the kingdom hasn't changed. God still works in the principles of covenants, agreements. And the great part about God is God can't lie. And when God cuts a covenant, it is yea and amen. So a covenant is very powerful. The Bible says that it is clear that a contract or covenant does not hold as much power as it used to. That does not change the fact that God's covenant still holds true to his word. Psalms 138:2. I will worship towards your holy mountain or your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word above your name. God holds his word even above his name. So if God said it, you can know this one thing without a shadow of a doubt. If God said it, he can't lie. In fact, that's the next verse. It's found in the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And if some did not believe, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar. God cannot lie. So when God makes a covenant with man, there's one thing that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. God will never stop fulfilling his portion. So let's be real. Whenever you look at any covenant, the people that have broken it was not God. Every covenant that was broken by man. I don't know about you. Once you start seeing all the covenants, you're going to realize how good God is. God is merciful. God is compassionate. God looks at us and says, I still love him. I don't know why I still love him, but I still love him. Amen. It is. Thank you, Jesus. Now, a covenant always costs something. So when we're going to get into this, I'm going to explain to you exactly what a covenant means scripturally. A covenant always costs something. Now, if you've been married, you know what I'm talking about. All right, let's move on. The covenant, though, with God costs blood. There's always innocent blood when it comes to a covenant with God. Always. Something innocent has to die to redeem somebody who's guilty. This is the basis of a covenant. So we see this in Genesis chapter 15, 9 through 11. And God said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. How many of you have ever heard the term cutting a covenant with somebody? I'm going to go cut a covenant with them. How many of you have never heard that verse, heard that terminology? All right. Cutting a covenant is like this. This is exactly what used to happen. Let's just say they take a sheep. Bah. a baby sheep who is innocent. The Bible says you had to bring them without spot or blemish. Had to be a perfect little lamb. They brought this little lamb, and this is how it used to work. They would then put a knife in your hand, and you, the guilty, would have to slice the throat of the little lamb, hear them blat for the last time as their blood spilled into the pan. The sheep gave their life for you, the innocent for the guilty. If you and I were going to cut a covenant together, this is what had to happen. We would take that sheep, we would cut it from nostril to tail in straight half. Now, the only time I've ever seen that was up at my Aunt Millie's house in northern Maine. Do you even remember that? We were up in Maine visiting my aunt. Now, this is a long time ago. This is my aunt, my uncle, but not the aunt. Aunt Millie had certain distinctions that I cannot talk about in class tonight. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, we won't talk about it. Okay, so I walked into her house as a kid, and I was just a kid, probably 6 or 7 years old, and there is a pig from snout to tail, literally cut in half. You can see its brains, and I'm thinking, that's really cool, Aunt Millie. What are you going to do with the brains? Oh, we're going to make cheese. Head cheese. You ever heard of head cheese? Make it out of the brains. Yeah, then they're going to make blood pudding. I mean, just look, isn't that gross? But I'm looking at this pig literally cut in half. So this is how it works. So say you and I, Dave and I are going to cut a covenant. I'm asking him to do something for me, and he's asking, it's an agreement. So what would happen is, because I'm asking him to cut a covenant with me, I'm going to go get a lamb, and I'm going to cut the lamb from nose to tail. I'm going to take the two sides and drop them over to the side. So there's a half a lamb here and a half a lamb there. Blood everywhere. And then he and I together are going to walk through the center of the blood. Really squishy. That was exactly how a covenant was cut. It was such a serious situation because something died to cut a covenant. The innocent shed its blood for an agreement. And when we look at God, when we start talking about covenant rights, you will always find that there was a shedding of blood to make a covenant with somebody. And for God to make a covenant with you and I, innocence died that the guilty could be freed. This is from the beginning to the end. And you and I are in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is governed by covenants. So in these diverse covenants, there were different promises, different expectations. You know, if I'm going to cut a covenant with him concerning, let's say, buying a house, then I'm making a covenant that I'm going to make the payment every month. If I'm cutting a covenant with Uncle Harold, then I'm going to clean his toilet. Then I got to go clean his toilet every week. Okay, every other day. But ultimately what it is that whatever the agreement is, there was something that paid the price for that agreement. This is how God's kingdom works. Seek ye first the kingdom. So when you live within God's kingdom, for the kingdom of God is within you, when you're living within kingdom principles, listen, the Bible says, and Jesus said to Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What that means is there are certain keys that open certain doors, certain covenant rights that allow you to participate with what God's presence and God's power wants to release in your life. So without the right keys, without understanding the covenants, then you literally, you can be born again, but you're going to live more on the outside of the house than on the inside of the house. It's like somebody winning the lottery. Let's just say you won $542 million. Woohoo! And you're a tither. Glory to Jesus. So you won $542 million and you have the winning ticket. But you don't look at the ticket. It's still in your glove box. You hear it on the radio. One winner. Still in your glove box. You never open your glove box. You're still living in the house you're living in. You're still driving the jalopy. You know, that's an old word. But yet, whether you realize it or not, you're rich. I mean, you're filthy rich. You can be as rich as you want, but until you cash in that ticket, you got nothing. So until you really understand covenants, you can't really get from God's kingdom what he's given you. I want you to hear me now. The Bible is God's love letter to us. But it's more than that. This is where the church world has a problem. Because when you don't teach covenants, we teach this as God's love letter to us. And that's it. And it is that. It's God revealing himself to us. But it's not just that. It's called the New Testament. What's a testament? It's a covenant. We live in the new covenant. Well, whether you realize it or not, this book is a legal document. Every king has to have a kingdom. In every kingdom, there has to be people. In every kingdom, there has to be laws, a constitution. And out of the constitution come the laws that govern the land. So here we are. We have the ability to open the new covenant, which is the legal document that God has given us. So not only do we have the right to stand before the throne of God boldly in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, but when we stand before the throne of God boldly, we're standing as a dual individual. Number one, as a son or a daughter of the Most High God. But number two, we're standing in legal posture before the king and the judge. When you understand your legal document, how many of you know we have lawyers? How many of you have hired a lawyer? Why did you hire a lawyer? They know the law better than you. Their whole purpose is going and studying the law. That's why you hire a lawyer. That's why if you're an injury lawyer, you're doing good, one third. Well, why is that? Well, because you were able to take the law, work the law to where the judge hit the gavel and said, they win. When you do not know your covenant rights, you yield many of your rights that God has bought for you on the cross through Jesus. And you surrender them because of the religious guise of, well, you can't make God do anything. Listen, I love the Christians that speak that. It just shows how ignorant they are. It shows how unlearned they are. You can't make God do anything. Listen, you don't have to make God do anything. There are two things that God cannot do, by the way. Number one, God will never go against your free will. And number two, God will never go against his word. Those are two things that God cannot do. He's made a distinction in his life. He will never go against the will of man, because if he does, then man no longer has free will. Therefore, they're just like the angels, so why did he even create us? And number two, if he goes against his word, he's a liar and cannot be trusted. That's why he said, not one jot or tittle shall pass away before all comes to fruition. That's why it says in the book of Revelation chapter 22, it says, if any man changes the words of this book, let all the curses on the book come on him. That's why God says, we read the verse earlier, he said, I hold my word above my name. So what this means to you and I in a legal fashion is that God, who is a covenant God, has created promises, legal documents, for us, with us, in agreement. Now, just think about how powerful that is. The God of heaven has chosen to come into an agreement with us. Why does he even have to do that? Well, because he loves us. But he knows if we don't have an agreement, we're going to live any way we want. We'll be lawbreakers and not even know it. Why do you think they created the law? The Ten Commandments were created to show people they were lawbreakers. When you're a lawbreaker, you're a criminal. Isn't it interesting? I think they're changing it now in America, but it used to be if you were a felon, you couldn't even vote. You lost a certain level of rights. Still is? I know they're trying to change that now. So here we are. We're believers, we don't know the kingdom of God. We don't know how to work within the kingdom of God. So we pray to God and we're wondering, where's God? And God is saying, no, you don't understand. There's a legal document placed before you called the New Testament. I have given you this legal document. I have cut a covenant with you as my son died on the cross. And I have a responsibility to fulfill my portion of it, but you have to fulfill yours too. So covenants are everything to you and I. That's why I pray. Somebody said to me one time, they heard me praying. They said, you know, you're kind of cocky when you pray. And I said, well, I'm not cocky. I'm confident. What do you mean you're confident? 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Jesus Christ. That if we ask anything according to his will, what's a will? Legal. Ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and the answer is on the way. See, I can pray with a confidence. I can pray knowing that I'm going to get what I'm asking for, not because I'm twisting God's hand or begging him or trying to make a deal with him, but because he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the righteous judge. I have made a covenant, and he has made a covenant with me, and have the right to come into his throne room and say, Father God, the Bible says very clearly that we have the right to come into the throne of God boldly. Hebrews chapter 4, the word boldly there means to be outspoken. How can you be outspoken in the presence of a judge? When you are quoting the law, you can be outspoken. That's why the lawyers, man, they just tell it the way it is. Because this is the law. So knowing covenants puts you in a position to where you know how now to work within God's kingdom. You know now how to pray in God's kingdom. You know now when you break the law what you have to do to get right in God's kingdom. And you know now as God the Father is the righteous judge who cannot lie, that when you pray according to his will, you can have a confidence and you can have an assurance that you don't have to be moved by the circumstances that are around you and the situations that come before you. But you can stand there with a boldness, knowing that if God is for you, who can be against you? See, this is the exciting part about being a believer. Sadly enough, not taught in most churches. What's mostly taught in churches? Well, you know, whatever happens must have come from God. That is about the most stupid statement I've ever heard in my entire life. The devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give you life and life more abundant. So whenever you see stealing, killing, and destroying, don't sit back and go, well, you know, it must have been the will of God. And they love to use Job as the example. Problem with Job is Job's whole event lasted 9 months. And what the Bible says is what Job feared the most came upon him. Fear is always the open gate to the devil. And then in Job 42, 9 months later, he put his hands over his mouth and says, God, forgive me for the words that I've spoken. And then God restored to him double everything he had before. Well, how is that? Because even Job, when he understood covenant, once he repented, realigned himself within the law, he then was in the position to have God's blessing come in his life. People say to me all the time, how are you so blessed? You know, I love the rumors that go around about your pastor. I really do. They always make me chuckle. I have $1 million log cabin house on the lake. I don't know if you knew that or not, but someone told me that. Someone told me. I own a Lamborghini. Yeah, that's what I've been told. I own a helicopter. I want to ride. And one of the funniest ones was a local pastor who stood up in front of his entire congregation and said, be careful with Spencer. He owns a jet. He's just after your money. Now, he's prophesying. That's all I know. Glory to be Jesus. I'll take a jet any day. Makes it much easier. All these accusations and all these statements, why are they doing that? Well, because they look at me and they say, well, it's all about money to Spencer. See how blessed he has? I just saw him the other day. Yeah, he drives a really nice truck. He's got a Harley Davidson. You know, he's got this. He's got, yeah, to Spencer, he's just taking all the money from the church. It's like, dude, I don't. If you're a pastor governed by the IRS, you can't even choose your own salary. It's chosen by the board, by law, and if you're even in the room, you're going to get arrested. It's like, I love people. But what's amazing to me is they look at that and they say he's taken from the church. No, you don't get this. I know who I am in Christ. I know that I'm blessed abundantly above all I could even ask or imagine. I know my eye has not seen, my ear has not heard, my heart hasn't even conceived the great things that God has in store for those who love him. I know that as a tither and as a seeder, I cannot not just not be blessed. I can be only abundantly blessed. For Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundant. I have postured, positioned myself within the law to get everything that God has promised for me. I live better than people that make double the amount of money. How is that? I've learned how to live within the kingdom principles. And when you, oh, brother, I'll have the jet. It's just a matter of time. And I don't know where it's coming from, but I already got a pilot. Glory to Jesus. He's waiting. He said, Pastor, when you get ready, I'm ready. I'm ready to fly. I said, oh, God, it's good. What's a pastor need a jet for? Well, why should the world get all the jets? And it always makes me chuckle. People are never upset at the porno king who owns the jet, the big houses. But when the pastor drives something nice, oh, by the way, God's kingdom people drive something nice, then everybody gets mad. It's like, what are you, stupid? You know, I don't know about you, but I serve a God that there's nothing impossible for him. I serve a God who can heal cancer. I serve a God who can take something that needs recreation and recreate it. I serve a God who raises people from the dead. I serve a God who can, listen now, you need to pay your taxes, go catch a fish. There's enough for you to pay your taxes and Peter. We make God and we make the kingdom so twisted and contorted. But when you start understanding the covenants, you position yourself within the law to remain blessed and not cursed. And this is why it is an enormous crime within the body of Christ that covenants are not being taught. But you're going to learn these here. Amen? Because covenants have diverse conditions. Let me see. Let's go back up. Because it was costly, when it was broken, there were harsh consequences. This is something we don't like to talk about in today's church world. We don't like to talk about the consequences that happen when you break the law in the kingdom. Just because you're not receiving immediate retribution for your sin does not mean that the wages of sin isn't death. I got awful quiet in the room. Glory to God. Let's just read. The obedient to the covenant. So this is what you get if you're obedient. We quote it on Sunday mornings. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all the blessings shall come upon you, overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Woohoo! I want to be there. We say it on Sunday morning, ready? If I obey. Well, that was real exciting, wasn't it? I said, if I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my, that's right. The blessings are gonna, they're gonna, because I'm. Now listen, that's not my words. That's Deuteronomy 28. That's why on Sunday morning, if you're just getting in a ritual quoting that, you're missing it. Because you should be prophesying over your life for that. Because if you're obeying God, that is. the covenant right that you have. Now let's take it to the other direction. The breaking of the covenant also causes consequences. Deuteronomy 28. The blessed going and blessed going out is the front part of 28. The back side of 28 is those who don't. Here we go. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, then all the curses will come upon you and overtake you. Yahoo! We don't like to talk about that one. If you obey, watch now, we're talking about covenants. So I make a covenant with Dave that I'm going to pay him monthly for the house. But I choose not to pay Dave for 3 months. Am I blessed in my storehouse? Blessed in my basket? Are the blessings chasing me down? No, because the cops are coming with Dave. I know where you live. And I'm going to get expelled from the house. Well, why? Because I didn't keep my part of the covenant. I can't look at Dave and go, what's wrong with you? I thought you loved me. I don't know why you want to be mean to me and throw me out of the house. I mean, if you were really a kind person, you would let me stay here for free the rest of my life. Sadly, we do know people like that. And it's because they don't get it. That is, that doesn't work anywhere on this earth or in that kingdom. We have a part in every covenant as sons and daughters of God. God has a part, and we have a part. God will always keep his part. But we are responsible to keep our part. And when we don't keep our part, that makes me chuckle. Well, if God really loved me, God does love you, but you decided to break the covenant. You can't expect to get the blessings from the covenant when you break the covenant. Amen. You're going 120 miles an hour down the road. You pass 6 police officers. You flip them off when you go by. I want you to know that you are going to have a cold slab to sleep on that night. Because you're not going to get a ticket. They're going to take your car. They're going to take your license. And they're going to incarcerate you. And you look at the cops and you say, but I thought you loved me. And they're going to say, you broke the law. Because you broke the covenant of driving, you now have lost the privilege of driving. You get a fine and free 3 meals a day. They do. They fed you. But I heard the food's really bad. Although I do know people in Montour Falls, they do get, I think it's Burger King often. So, yeah, it's not bad. Just keep me near the toilet. That's all I know. Burger King's bad for me. Okay, here we go. Covenants have diverse conditions to them. Some covenants are conditional, and some covenants are unconditional. A conditional covenant is one that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter even if you keep it or not, you get to participate with it. That's the unconditional. The conditional one is you have a part and God has a part. You both got to keep your part to get the blessings flowing. So some of the covenants we're going to show you from the beginning of time, some of them were conditional and some of them were unconditional. And then next week, we're actually going to take you to the new covenant, your covenant and my covenant. And I'm going to show you how to live within your covenant. I'm going to teach you how to pray next week so that you are legal, standing before the king, standing before the judge, and you can call those things which are not as though they already are with a supernatural confidence, knowing the answer is on the way. But this week, I want to show you how so many have broken covenants and how merciful our God has been each time. So conditional and unconditional. Conditional means you and I have a part in it. It's not just God. Unconditional means it doesn't even matter if you're saved or not saved. You can be the greatest heathen on the planet and you will still get to participate with an unconditional covenant. What's so awesome is about God is that he actively has come after us to establish and then to reestablish covenants because he loves us. Genesis chapter 9, 12 through 15. And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant which I made between you and me." Genesis 17, 21. "But my covenant I will establish." And because God cannot lie, God has to fulfill his portion of the covenant. Deuteronomy 7, 9. "Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant." He's always striving to give man the ability to respond to the covenant. He loves us so much that he has even created new covenants to keep the heart of man. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 12. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is a mediator of a better covenant that was established on better promises. For if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no place to have been sought for a second." So what is so awesome about our God is that he is the one after us for a covenant because he wants a relationship with us. He so desperately wants us to know him, to participate with his kingdom, to be called a son and daughter, to understand how to call those things which are not, to understand our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are the covenant right people who have the ability to reach into the eternal and bring it down into the natural. And this is who we are. And this is why when this is not taught, we got a bunch of weak Christians that are more in survival mode than in more than conqueror mode. But the Bible says, "I've been made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus our Lord," because of the covenant. So understanding this is so, so, so important. You hear me? I'm constantly driving this down to you. You've been hearing me for the last 443 minutes. I've been pounding this down. Let me see. It's been 37 minutes and 49 seconds. So what are the covenants? Okay, let's start talking about it. Ready? The very first covenant that God made was with Adam and Eve. It's called the Adamic covenant. Everybody say Adamic. Now listen, this part of the class is a real talking part of the class. Okay, so I'm going to get you to talk to me a lot in this portion of the class. So say, the Adamic covenant. Turn to someone and say, that means Adam. That's right. The Adamic covenant. Now, I want to show you, with every covenant, there are certain steps. Number one, there's a blessing or promise to every covenant. Now, with the Adamic, it is this. "Then God blessed them, and God said to them," Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The condition of the covenant was this, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. "And God, the Lord God, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, and the day you eat it you shall surely die." And then there's a consequence. So there is a promise, there is an expectation, and then there's a consequence if it's broken. And the broken covenant, we know this, that Adam said, to Adam, God said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife," and excuse me, men, the wife was deceived, but Adam willfully sinned. So we always blame Eve. You've heard the joke, right? Adam and Eve have been expelled from the garden, so they're out there, and the Bible says that man's got to, you know, he's got to work with his hands and the briars and the bushes, and so Adam's out there with his sons, and, you know, I want to remind you that the Garden of Eden was still there, but there was an angel guarding the tree of life. And so Adam and the sons are working diligently, you know, there's dirt all over them, sweat's coming from their brow, and the boys look at Adam and said, "Dad, look at how lush the trees are over there. Why can't we just go over there and grab some of their stuff?" And Adam says, "No, no, no." They're working a little bit longer, and the boys get a little bit more obstinate. "Come on, Dad. Look it. We're working hard in the dirt, in the gravel, in the mud, and the nasty part of the land. Look at how beautiful. It's succulent over there. Why can't we go there?" "Son, I told you no." Working a little bit longer, and finally they spoke up again. "Dad, I'm telling you right now, we're going to go over there." "Son, we can't go there because your mother ate us out of house and home." All right. You guys, I thought it was funny. Truth is, she didn't eat us out of house home. She was deceived. The word was beguiled. But man willfully sinned. Man was not beguiled. Man made that choice. What's interesting is this is when we start seeing covenant. So Adam and Eve, they broke the covenant. They ate of the tree. When they ate of the tree, they did not die instantly physically, but they died instantly spiritually. Remember, the devil will only give you half truths. He will give you some bit of truth, because if there's no truth, you'll always recognize it as a lie. He'll give you just enough truth that if you're not wise in the word, you'll get sucked into the lie. So Adam and Eve were sucked into the lie, Eve especially. Adam made a willful choice. Now they're in sin. Now what are they doing? They're running over in the corner of the garden, hiding themselves, covering themselves, because now they realize that innocence is gone. And God said, here's the consequence. The consequence now is this. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles. It shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field and the sweat on your face. You shall take bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And Adam called to his wife, and Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. I want you to see this. Remember, every covenant has to have blood. This is the first blood that was ever shed in the Bible. It was shed because of sin. The book of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. This animal, he doesn't describe which one it is, but this animal lived innocent, lived in the Garden of Eden. But because Adam and Eve broke the covenant, innocence had to die to pay the price for the guilty. So the first covenant is called the Adamic covenant. It is what kind of covenant? Conditional or unconditional? Conditional. Say, the Adamic covenant is conditional. So if I say Adamic covenant, you say? If I say conditional, you're going to say? Very good. The next covenant, which comes into play, is called the Noahic covenant. The Noahic covenant, so we have the Adamic covenant and the Noahic covenant. Everybody say it with me. Adamic covenant and Noahic. Say Adamic, Noahic. You like the ick on the end? The Noahic covenant was an unconditional covenant. I want to remind you of what happened, that God told Noah to build an ark. He built an ark because the earth was wicked. And in this portion, God saved Noah and his family. And from there, the earth was given a specific covenant. The unconditional covenant meant this, or said this. It said that Noah built an ark to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings to the Lord. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Watch, blood. Sacrifice. And the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of his heart is evil from his youth, nor will I destroy every living thing that as I have done. While the earth remains, here it is, here's the unconditional covenant. Seed time and harvest, winter and summer, cold and heat, day and night will not cease. It doesn't matter whether you're born again or unborn again. Whether you're born again or not. Thank you. The Noahic covenant is unconditional. How many of you have ever seen a rainbow? How many of you ever saw a rainbow before you ever cared if God was living or dead? You know how? It's called the Noahic covenant. It's unconditional. Seed time and harvest is going to go all the way to the end. In fact, everything comes from the seed. If you missed the whole year we preached on seed, man, I'd encourage you to get back online, histabernacle.com. Go back to the archives. You can watch the entire year on seed. Everything comes from the seed. Everything. And so seed time and harvest will never end. Day and night will never end. Cold and heat will never end. We know that one for sure, don't we? How many of you have been enjoying the last few days' weather? That's called heat, by the way. I wasn't sure if you realized what that was called. It's been a long time. It is the absence of cold. So the Adamic covenant is... Okay, here we go. The Adamic covenant is... The Adamic covenant is... The Noahic covenant is unconditional. Doesn't matter whether you're born again or unborn again, you will participate with that covenant. Now, the third one is called the Abrahamic covenant. Now, this is where God said to Abram, I want you to leave Haran. We talked about it on Sunday. I want you to leave Haran. Don't take your family. And I'm going to bring you to a land of promise. I'm going to give you a piece of property, and it's where Israel is. I'm going to give that to you, and that will be the homeland. What's interesting is Israel is the center, literally the center of the earth. And in the last days, especially the millennial reign of Christ, that the new heaven and the new Jerusalem will come and will hover over Jerusalem. It's thinking really cool. The center of the earth. So the Adamic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant says this: get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make your nation great. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. That is why. How many of you have ever read The Harbinger? Harbinger 1. Hey, we got to do it in three. Listen, you need to go by the Harbinger, H-A-R-B-I-N-G-E-R, Harbinger. You can, listen, if you don't like to read, that's okay. You can get it on audible.com. But you want to listen to this. It's going to scare the living poopies out of you. When you start hearing the prophetic and how every single time the United States of America had turned against Israel, the horrible things that happened in America. This last one happened within one day that America turned on Israel. You don't want to not read this book. In fact, when you read this book, you're going to get yourself more ready for Jesus than you've ever gotten before, because you're going to realize literally, not even figuratively, literally, that trumpet of God I'm talking about is like two toots away. Yes. Yep, Jonathan Kahn, K-A-H-N, I believe it is. It's powerful, isn't it? And then he has a book right after that that goes even into more details. It gets into the towers going down. It gets into the biblical proof, even of a tree that's sitting in the church next to the towers, prophetically is folded in. I mean, you're just going to be shaking your head saying, I'm going to get better with Jesus. I know I am. So Abram, he said, if whoever blesses you will be blessed, whoever curses you will be cursed. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. We then find that he went on his thing. Now, the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. So the Adamic covenant is, the Noahic covenant is, the Abrahamic covenant is unconditional. That means if you bless Israel, God's going to bless you. I don't know about you, I like to be smart. Yes? Not everybody likes to be smart. I do know that. But I choose to be intelligent. And if the Bible says it's an unconditional covenant, that means saved or unsaved, I choose to bless Israel. I choose to pray for Israel. I bless the Jewish people. Just one, but I'm going to go for two. I bless the Jewish people. Amen. Why? Because if you bless them, you will be blessed. If you curse them, you shall be cursed. That is an unconditional promise. So I choose, God cut this covenant with Abram. I choose to say, hey, listen now, I'm not back there, but I do know this. It's an unconditional covenant, which means that if I bless Israel and I bless the Jewish people, that I'm going to be blessed whether I like it or not. Come on now. So I'm smart. I bless the Jewish people. I bless the Jewish nation so I can participate with this portion of an unconditional covenant. So we have the Adamic covenant is You all got to stay with me now. The Adamic covenant is, the Noahic covenant is, the Abrahamic covenant is, and the next covenant is called the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant, how many know you've heard of Moses? This covenant was established through the law. Exodus chapter 21 through 14, it gives the Ten Commandments. There are civil laws, there are moral laws, and there are ceremonial laws. Number one, you shall have no other gods before you, no idols. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do you want to know who does that more than anybody else? You know who takes the Lord's name in vain more than anybody else? Christians. You want to know what day they do that on? Sunday. The word vain there means without meaning. So we come to church, worship's playing, you're singing, but you're not thinking about God at all. That's called taking the Lord's name in vain. That's why you make a choice on Sunday morning that the world stays outside and your thoughts are being brought into captivity so that you can honor and worship God and give him the glory that's due his name. Amen? Do you realize if we all did that, what would happen in this house? How strong the anointing would be? I mean, I thank God Sunday was a really strong anointing. Amen? But can you imagine, and I've seen it multiple times, untold times, when the anointing is so strong that you can't hardly even stand in the room. Here we go. Observe the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You know what's really cool about this one? This is the first promise. Let me see. This is the first, what's the word I want to use? This is the first commandment with a promise. I had to say it right. If you honor your mother and father, you have long life. If you dishonor your mother and father, short. Do not murder, which is encouraging. Do not commit adultery. Very important in keeping your relationship together. Do not steal. Listen, in other nations, they just cut your hand off. Do not give false testimony. And do not covet. That means want what somebody else has. How many of you know you can't keep the law? Amen. You can't. How many here is perfect? Raise your hand, I dare you, because you just sinned. You just broke the law. Liar! The Bible actually says that the law, those Ten Commandments, God knew you couldn't keep them. And that's why there was a major cost to this covenant. No, on this covenant, it was all the animals that died. There were 2.5 million people that came out of Egypt. When they built the tabernacle, every single person had to bring a sacrifice, an innocent, to pay for their guilt. Didn't matter if your stomach was queasy or not. You were still putting the knife to the throat of some innocent animal and spilling its blood to cover your sins. Well, I just puke every time I see blood. Well, what a mixture. Fact is that you're going to have to still do it. That's what it was with this covenant. The only way to cover your sins was innocent blood had to be shed. Can you imagine on the days that they had to bring sacrifice? How many animals were there? How many gallons of blood had been spilled? They had this one sacrifice. It was called the scapegoat. Have you ever heard of a scapegoat? What that was they would take a goat and they would pray. The priest would lay hands on this goat and they would lay hands and release the sins of Israel into the goat. And then they would send the goat out into the wilderness where it would be eaten by the beasts. Innocence always pays the price for the guilty. So breaking a covenant is very powerful. The consequences are humongous. So the Adamic covenant is, the Adamic covenant is, the Adamic covenant is, the Adamic covenant is, The Noahic covenant is. The Abrahamic covenant is. Is that right? Yeah, okay. Shoo. All right, let's start over. The Adamic covenant is. The Noahic covenant is. The Abrahamic covenant is. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. It's conditional. You'll see this every single time the children of Israel went off to serve other gods. Has anybody here ever read the book of Judges? I would encourage you tonight to go home and start reading the book of Judges. What you'll see there is God's people who were under the Mosaic covenant, many times what they would do is they would get in and amongst other nations and they would start serving the other nations' gods. Remember, one of the Ten Commandments is you'll serve no other gods. They would serve other gods, and what God would do, come on now, this is what happens, because it's conditional, God would go just like this. Oh, okay, do your thing. I'll be here when you need me. He stepped back and let them step into their own demise. When you start reading the book of Judges, some of them went 40, 50 years when they were being literally brought back into slavery, being tortured, being destroyed, and finally they come to themselves. Duh. I broke the covenant. God's blessing is off our life. And they would call on God, and God would send a deliverer. When you read the book of Judges, you're going to see how merciful God is. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times. Time after time after time, the children of God would get blessed by the Lord. They'd be blessings would come in their life. And then they would choose to start worshiping other idols, sinning the way God told them not to. They broke the covenant. God went, all right, do your thing. I can't make you serve me. They would be messed up, brought into slavery, abused. Finally, they come to themselves, God, help us. And God would always send somebody. We serve an amazing God who loves us with an everlasting love. But remember, he is a God of the covenant. Here's an interesting thought for you. It's a mess with somebody's religion. Do you realize that if you're not born again, God doesn't hear your prayers? I thought he heard everyone's prayer. No. God, according to covenant, is only obligated to hear his children's prayer. If you're not born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, you have no right even into the throne room. You have no right to even have God hear your prayer. See, covenant is so powerful to God because it gives rights and or takes rights away. We have such twisted Christian mindset against the word. The wages of sin is death, and the reason the wages of sin is death is because what happens is, all right, do your thing. You broke the covenant. I can't make you serve me. Every single time, Adamic, Noahic, doesn't matter how you live, you're gonna see the rainbow. You're gonna see seed time and harvest. You're gonna see cold and heat. You're gonna see sunshine and darkness. No matter who you are. The Abrahamic, unconditional. Whether we like it or not, God is gonna bless the Israelite people. They're gonna prosper. They're gonna be blessed. They're gonna increase. They're God's folk. We've been grafted in according to the word of God. That the only reason that the Gentiles got grafted in was because the Jews rejected Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And the word of God declares, if he cut his own folk off, what will he do for us if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 3. The Mosaic was also conditional. And we need to realize that we have a part in this. God said, listen, I'm sending this one. I know you can't keep it, but I'm going to use it as a tutor as a trainer to show you that I've got something better coming for you. That's what I love about God. He doesn't short sheet us. I had to work that one through. He doesn't short sheet us. He gives you a better covenant with better promises. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. Jesus is a mediator of a new and a better covenant with better promises. For if the old covenant had been perfect, there would have been no need for a new one. So each covenant prepared us for the greatest covenant, and that is the covenant of his dear son, Jesus. Now watch, I'm not done yet. The Adamic covenant. Come on now. I just choked on my own spit. The Adamic covenant. The Noahic covenant. Abrahamic covenant. Mosaic covenant. Okay, so I'm back now. Here we go. Let's start over. The Adamic covenant. Come on. The Noahic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant. Then there's one more. It's called the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant is an unconditional covenant. This is the covenant that he cut with David. And this is what he said. 2 Samuel 7, 10 through 16. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, and they will dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of the wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time which I commanded judges to be over my people Israel. and have caused you to rest from your enemies. Down verse 13. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Verse 16. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you, and your throne shall be established forever. So watch this. The Davidic covenant is unconditional because all it was doing was setting up Jesus to be able to come for the last covenant called the new covenant. So the Davidic covenant was just for one reason, to set up the throne, to set up the bloodline so that Jesus could come and be prophetically, through the scripture, signified as the Messiah. So the Adamic covenant. Come on. The Adamic covenant. Come on. The Adamic covenant. The Adamic covenant. The Noahic covenant. Come on. Now, I need you to know these because you're going to see the progression. And when you really understand your covenant next week, you're going to pray different. You're going to act different. You're going to live different. There's no way you can't once you realize your legal posture in the kingdom of God. The Adamic covenant. The Noahic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant. The Mosaic covenant. The Davidic covenant. And then there's one more covenant, and we'll cover that next week. It's called the New Covenant, and it is a conditional covenant. So we're going to cover that one. We're going to break it down into three main parts next week. You're going to be able to pray covenant so strong, and God will not just hear you. God loves to hear his word brought back to him. God loves to perform his word since he holds his word even above his name. So when you understand your new covenant rights, man, you're going to be healthier. Amen. You're going to be more prosperous. Amen. And you're going to have a greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ than you've ever had before. Amen. Amen. Questions? All questions are good. La, la, la. La, la, la. Anybody? No questions? The Adamic covenant. Noahic covenant. Abrahamic covenant. Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant, new covenant, condition. Very good. Give yourself a hand clap this evening. Amen. So if you're watching online, I just want to encourage you, make sure you're faithful to be here next week. You don't want to miss it. Amen. I would encourage you to go back and watch some of these Rock Solid Faiths. Last week's Rock Solid Faith, you need to listen to it again if you were here. You need to listen to it if you weren't here. It will help you live successful in your walk with Jesus. You need to listen to it at least more than once. So how many of you have an Apple phone? Apple? No, you don't have. If you have Apple, who don't have Apple? Androids. Look at all the Androids in this place. If you are an Android, if you're an Android, you can go to www.histabernacle.mobi, M-O-B-I. What that will do is that will take you to our website where you can watch all of these Rock Solid Faith, all the archives are right on there. If you have an iPhone, we have an iPhone app. It's called His, H-I-S, space, tab, T-A-B, space, N-Y. All of the archive messages are on here, all the Rock Solid Faith, and on this one you can actually listen, whether it be MP3 and or watch it. So I'd encourage you to do that. If you have a desktop or a laptop, it's histabernacle.com. Go up to watch, scroll down to archives, and they're all there. We make them available for you because we want you to learn. There's nothing worse than being an ignorant Christian. Yes. Bah. That's a dying sheep. What happens if you're an ignorant Christian? It means you have that $842 million ticket in your pocket and you never cash it in. God has great things for you. Don't live substandard. I personally, see, that's why I don't care what people say to me. I personally don't care what people think about me. Why? Because I'm going to live according to the covenant. I'm sorry, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. And I know this not just because of who I am, it's how I live. I live this thing. I don't talk this thing. I live this thing. I live the covenant of God. My wife, my children, I remember when we did not have health insurance. The only thing that we had was laying hands on our kids and seeing them recover. I can tell you multiple times. I probably will tell you one next week, just of Cody, when he was so sick and God healed him immediately as he was vomiting in the toilet. Set free in the name of Jesus. My wife's cancer, set free in the name of Jesus. Listen, people say they've never seen a miracle. Go buy the book. That's right. Deb back there was healed of leukemia. She was told she'll never have a baby. Never have a baby. She had four. Dear God. You had five, actually, right? Five. Crystal. Five babies. Told she would never have a baby. Impossible. In fact, they tried to get her to abort the first one. Ben, who's now how old? Wow, 40 this week. I'm telling you. Miracle after miracle. This is your life. Relationship with God. Health, divine health. And prosperity is what God purchased for you on the cross called the New Covenant. Don't live substandard. The only way you can live substandard, number one, is ignorance. You don't know it. Or number two, you choose not to believe God's word. And after next week, you will only have one choice. Choose not to believe God's word. Amen? All right, praise the Lord. Let's stand.